We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, it seems as if the gratitude due your name for what you have done on our behalf, any gratitude that we might offer seems to pale in comparison to the gift that we have received. But Lord, nonetheless, we lift up our praises. We thank you and we offer gratitude and praise and thanksgiving for your work in our lives. And Lord, we rejoice that you have sent your Spirit into our hearts and into our minds that we might engage you and find you in the Word, and that through that Word, you might help us to discern the path that leads to life. That through your Spirit, you may remove us from the path that leads to death through repentance and through the forgiveness of sins, and that you restore us in the right way and in the right direction. For that, Lord, we offer you our heartfelt praise and thanks. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the Lord God, my Creator and yours, and the Creator of all humanity from the beginning to the end, has created us with a yearning and a desire to belong. An internal yearning and desire to be part of a community. And that can express itself in many different types of communities. But what's unique for all of us is we all have this desire to want to belong. We want to belong in our family, in our team at work, in the sport that we're playing in school. Whatever the group is, we want to feel as if we are part of the community. God has created you and created me that we might live together in community. He has created the whole world, all that we see, all that we know, and he has created us in such a way that every single one of us has our place within the world, within God's creation. In every sense, the fall, as tragic as that historical day and moment was, is every sense the fall, God has also now spoken to his creatures, you and me, and to all of humanity, what we often call the law. That is, the guide and the governing system that we might live in this broken world in a way which is moral and in a way which leads to peace among ourselves and love for everyone. That is God's guide, and he gives us that law so that we know very specifically what it looks like to live in the way and by the design by which he has made and created the world in you and me and our place in it. Now, we also have to note that the devil is active, and he is very much at work in the world, and the devil also knows that inside of all of us, whether you're in the church, outside of the church, believer or non-believer, the devil and the world know that you and I long to belong somewhere. He knows that all of us want to be a part of a community. It's also true that God desires that all humanity would be part of his kingdom and included in it. And there is a way by which the devil has even made his way into the church, where he has created false pastors, false teachers, false preachers, and false Christian congregations. And he's gotten into these places, and what he has done so effectively is he has changed the way by which a person comes into the kingdom of God. That's really the question of our text from Isaiah today, is simply that. If God desires all people to be included into his kingdom, what is the path by which all humanity can be included? That's the question. That's the question where the answer has been twisted and distorted and darkened and weakened, and it's only getting worse in the world. Sadly, worse from those who profess upon themselves the name Christian, the name of Jesus Christ. Listen to Isaiah, and I will show you where we see the means of Jesus and where we see God's desire to include all humanity in his kingdom. Verse 1 of our reading, 56, Isaiah 56, "Thus says the Lord, keep justice and do righteousness, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed." Jesus, verses 6 to 8, "And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, everyone who keeps the Sabbath and does not profane it, and holds fast my covenant. These, the Lord says, I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer. All peoples, all humanity is included. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather yet others to him besides those already gathered." So, how is one included in the kingdom of God and counted as part of his family? Well, the world and false Christians and false churches and false pastors answer this question all very similarly. The way you are included with all of your issues, with all of your sins, the same sins people have inside the kingdom of God, the way you are included is we are going to change the law and the morality that God has spoken into creation and spoken into all people's hearts all over the world. For example, you don't have to be a believer at all to have your conscience stricken when you steal something that's not yours. Why is that? Because the Creator has woven that into the fabric of humanity. Not to steal for one another. And life will be a challenge if you steal from one another. There will not be peace and love between one another if you steal from one another. It's a fact. It's a reality. It's written into the fabric of your being and my being and all of humanity itself. And so, the world condemns the church for things that God has said and then blames his people, saying, "No, see, you're not really inclusive, you are exclusive, and you are excluding people from the kingdom of God." And they'll even steal the person of Jesus to try to make their point. What's the way in? Well, it's an understanding that Jesus is a God of love. But only love. He's the one who has come into the world, loves you, and has obliterated all the divine commands and laws around morality so that you can get in. It seemed like such a high bar to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so what Jesus, the Jesus of love, comes and does is he just lowers the bar so that no matter how you think, how you live, what you say, what's in your heart, you're in. That is a damning way to think about one's coming into the kingdom of heaven, and it is complete and utter blasphemy of the person of Jesus Christ. Is it true that the scriptures say God desires all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth? And the answer is yes. But the follow-up is, how does he do that? Let's look to verse 1 of Isaiah 56. For soon my salvation will come, incarnation of Jesus Christ at Christmas, and my deliverance will be revealed. Christ crucified, hanging on the cross for sinners. Providing the path, the only path by which you and I can graciously enter in through his death and resurrection into his forever family now and for eternity. He doesn't lower the bar. No, he answers for the sin you've committed, which kept you out of his family, and he provides the forgiveness of sins and the mercy by which you can have your proper place inside of his family and inside of his kingdom. It is through the life, death, resurrection of Jesus, and that alone that one enters into his forever kingdom. Jesus says of himself, I am the way, what? The truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except what? Through me. See, yes, the heart of God seeks to include everybody, but it will be exclusively through the person and the work of Jesus Christ. We long to be a part of this kingdom. This kingdom which offers forgiveness, and in that forgiveness offers healing and breaking the bondage of sin in life. You see, the difference between those in the kingdom of God on earth and those outside isn't this. Oh, the people inside are better, the people outside are worse. No, fact of the matter is, you can look inside of the kingdom of God, inside of his people, and see a lot more lives jacked up of those who are in the kingdom than those who are outside of the kingdom. This is not a compare and contrast our behavioral lives to see who's better and who's worse. It's not the distinction. The distinction is this. Is when I know and hear through the Word of God how he designs and the laws he puts around his morality and the world, I am immediately made aware, since I am on the inside by the Holy Spirit, when I have transgressed that law and come to the conclusion that I, Tim Radke, am a sinner. And I yearn, because I'm part of this community, I yearn for the forgiveness that my Savior Jesus came into the world to give. I yearn to receive the benefits of his body and blood in this meal for the forgiveness of sins, the strengthening of faith, so that I might be made new again and again and again. You see, if we're going to talk about being included into the kingdom of God, brothers and sisters, every single definition and conversation that we have to have the cross of Christ in it, and why he's on that cross and who he went to it for. There is no way into the eternal kingdom of God by walking around the cross of Jesus Christ and excluding the death of Jesus Christ to find your backdoor entry into it. It just simply doesn't exist. There is one way in, and it's through the cross of Jesus Christ. Period. And he provides the pathway for people like you and people like me to come in by not saying, yes, no worries, Tim. Everything you do and say and think is fine. Come on in. I'm the God of love. That's not how he does it. He says, Tim, you know who you are, a sinner. And you know what I have provided the world to deal with that so that you might become part of my forever family. And that's the gift of my cross and gospel for you. So come in, because I, by my grace, have forgiven you. There's a place for you. And I will remain with you for those continued moments when you transgress that which I've told you not to do. This is the way that the kingdom of God is inclusive and available to all humanity. We pray. Lord, we live in such a time where it's easy for us to really do great harm and damage to your church and to your kingdom by getting angry with the wrong people, blaming the wrong people, turning something into politics that is simply a basic part of how you have woven this world together with your truth. Lord, it ought to break every single one of our hearts that the devil in the world has done such a number to twist how one becomes part of your kingdom. And in the twisting and in the lying and in the distortions, they end up robbing people of your kingdom and the healing that your kingdom provides to sinners. Lord, break our heart with the things that break yours, that we might enter into the lives of these people and these groups and these youth and tell them that there is indeed a place for them here. And there is indeed a pathway to come into this family, that you might belong to it, not just now, but forever. And as we engage in these conversations, Lord, may we lift high the cross of Jesus Christ, for there is no answer, no way, and no path that doesn't go through that cross. Give us the boldness and courage and love and compassion to speak this truth, to untwist what the devil has twisted, so that we might truly love those who have been lied to. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.